the Popcorn Talk Network. For the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews, press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Guilty Movie Pleasures. In-depth discussion on movies, no matter how guilty they make you feel.
Oh. What's up, Guilty Movie Pleasure fans? We are back. Ben is back. He was out shooting the DVD extras for Meatballs Full of Love. And
Jesus. Tell him what I was really doing.
Ben was out shooting a movie that he wrote and he produced and he starred in. And
I didn't produce it. I didn't produce it, but I did. My wife and I wrote it. My wife, Renee Dorian, and I wrote it. And it's called The Funhouse Massacre.
Yeah. Tell the... Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Applause. Thank you. I'm back.
We had a good time without you, but it's much better to have you back in town. Tell everybody how the shoot went.
It went awesome. We have a great cast. It's all on IMDb, so I'm allowed to say it. Okay. Robert Englund popped in for a little bit. We have Clint Howard, Jerry Burns, Scotty Thompson, myself. Yeah. Renee plays one of the lead roles. It's nice. It's a really fun horror comedy, kind of in the vein of Scream, but ramped up a ton. Robert Kurtzman.
Should we say cranked up a ton?
Cranked up, yes. Robert Kurtzman did the gore, so it's is crazy. And I can't say anything about the villains yet, but we're going to start leaking photos.
I'm guessing one is a clown. If
it's going to be
house.
Crazy, I can't say anything. I'm sworn to secrecy.
Now, had any of them seen Cloudy with a Chance of Love? Or was
no,
it?
I don't think anyone other than House Moms. House Moms, is that
House Dance
what
Moms?
What other kind of moms are there? There's house moms. Milks. There's I could have just said moms. I didn't have to say house moms. I don't know what that
struggling
means.
Struggling at home. No, my mom saw it. She loved it.
You know what's funny, though? When Cloudy with a Chance of Love came out, my IMDb rating went into the 6,000s, which is ridiculous for how little I've done. And then it's real good. And then it plummeted a week later. It's now in like 25,000.
Yeah, but when Funhouse Master comes out, it's back into the 6,000s.
Back into the 6,000s. I love that it's a win to be in the 6,000s, where it's like, yeah.
And then, Jason Statham comes in, straight to the 10,000s.
Then, if I get Jason Statham to co-star with me in a new movie called Crank 3, Merry Cranksmas.
Merry Cranksmas. Now,
it's actually the spoof, I guess.
You guys can tell that we're talking Crank today on Guilty Movie Pleasures, and Ben was in a sketch group a little while back called Dingus Con, and they made a sketch called
Crank 3, Merry Cranksmas.
Wow, you fucking, now you concerned.
It starts off saying, my name is Chef Chelios, and today I didn't die again.
And then the whole thing is, first they poisoned him, then they stole his heart, now they've stolen his Christmas spirit. And much like the movies, we stole almost all our shots. We shot in like the Burbank Mall and ran around, and we had to find a caroling group, and there happened to be a buddy of mine caroling up the escalator as we
Nicely
walked by.
Done.
What? How does that happen? It was funny. We have a shot of me like stalking Santa. We eventually got kicked out, but ironically, right after we finished our last shot, security finally was like, "You got to get out of here!"
Wow, all the way to final shot. Well done.
I'll post it for the GMP. Now it was before I had really good cameras, but it's still cool.
If you guys want to check out some of Ben's great, you have some great sketches.
There's
out
some
there.
Crazy. Yeah. They're varying degrees of whatever. Some of them are really funny.
All right. Now, I will say, last night...
What a shameless intro for me.
Yeah, you really just plugged... Well, you plugged yourself. You were away on vacation for a bit.
I plugged it.
A vacation, shooting a movie. And, dude, I mean,
so
that's...
So much.
That's what all... The fans are out there. They love
to
see movies.
The fans feel slimed by me by now. Oh,
we're going to have to go get that flag out of the nose with the boogers. Just saying. We're talking today. We are talking Crank. I just tweeted out the link. You guys, at Josh McCuga, it's live here.
I gotta retweet it, guys.
At
Hold
the Popcorn
on.
Talk Network. You guys can watch us live here. We don't, Cody, the intern, if he's watching right now, I'm not sure. I forgot to talk to him before the show. I was kind of in a rush. If he does call in, you can pick it up there. We got sweet Alexis in the back rocking
hey,
the buns and twos. She's a sweetheart. She loves Age of Ultron. I haven't seen it yet, but we won't get into that.
So good.
But I'd never seen Crank until last night. That I knew it exists, but I didn't know that there was a Crank 2. So,
this is my second guilty movie pleasure. What, top two. It was Mortal Kombat and then Crank.
Oh, look at this. Yes. We're setting up for Alexa so she can just hit him out of the park.
Yes.
So I want to ask you then, because I saw Crank when it first came out. And
did you see it in the theaters?
I don't remember. I don't remember. That's,
this would be a great theater going experience.
I don't think I did. I think I rented it from like 2020 Video when it used to exist. Yeah. And I thought it was bad. That shit crazy, but awesome.
For sure.
My opinion has changed slightly, but I still think it's awesome. Mm-hmm. I want to know your opinion, having seen it for the first time. What was it like?
Well, I think 2006 Josh probably would have gone to see this stoned, for sure. Because when this came out in 2006. But 2015 Josh watched this sober on his computer. And I got to tell you, I giggled a bunch, but it was awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
This movie has no fear.
No.
Nothing. Like, Jason Statham's like, I'm going to eat glass and then I'm going to throw myself. I mean, he does everything. He stands up. This movie,
we'll get to that.
This movie is the definition of a guilty movie pleasure for me.
It 100% is, because, and it even got a decent rate. It got like a 61% on Rotten Tomatoes. So I feel like this show was built for movies like this, where it's,
yes,
you're watching it and if you, it's complete trash, but awesome trash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it knows it is. That's the thing. That's what makes it so much fun.
It pulls no punches. It doesn't apologize for itself ever. There really isn't, besides Amy Smart, I guess, and Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite.
Ephraim Ramirez.
Yeah, from Ramirez. There isn't really a star, per se, in this movie.
Other than Statham.
Yeah, and it's every gangster really plays in a heightened version of a stereotype of a gangster.
This is the most racist, just
and the
offensive
Ephraim Ramirez
movie ever.
Homophobic informant that Jason Statham has is supposed to be his counterpart. I don't know. They never really even define his role.
They just kill him real quick.
Yeah, and he doesn't have to be gay.
They just show him with lipstick and a mesh top, and then for some reason he ties
bare midriff?
His... Bare midriff.
I don't get that part.
It's not a style thing. Like, that's just, it just seemed like they were doing that to be weird.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, let's just give him this weird thing.
Well, we don't have we have a bunch of other Latin characters. We need another Latin character. Yeah, we're going to make him gay.
I know. And then, like, borderline cross-dressing, but kind of lazy cross-dressing, where it's like, he puts lipstick on, but then he wears a mesh top. So it could be just a guy that likes mesh tops.
He could be like Eddie Izzard, where he just likes dressing the blue girl, but he likes the women.
So that we're not crossing the line of being full on. Never go full cross-dresser.
Because the movie's not ridiculous.
Yeah, the movie. Because that would be too offensive for this movie, right?
Absolutely.
The entire movie.
It's extremely.
Is one long.
The outdoor sex scene, I got the biggest laugh of. But we'll get into
that.
First, we should welcome the fans back with Ben and Josh. Do the plot in under 2 minutes?
I feel like we could do it in under one.
1 minute? Okay. We have 20 seconds till
Are we going at 30? Is that what we're doing
at 30 on here? Okay. So we can go into a minute.
We're going to try under a minute. I mean, it literally has no plot. So.
It does. I mean, it really doesn't.
Ooh, Who's starting?
You start.
Okay.
In 3, 2, 1, go Crank.
Chev Chelios wakes up and he's all dazed, and then he gets this DVD that says fuck you on it. He puts it in there and the guy goes, hey Chev, I got this thing. It's this synthetic shit that you ain't even gonna know. And he goes, oh God. And then he realizes that he has to keep his adrenaline up to stay alive. He calls
his doctor. Based solely on what a doctor tells him.
Based solely on the first time slamming the gas into gear, and then calling Dwight Yoakam, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The doctor. And then basically the rest of the movie, he then goes over to these gangbangers to find out where this guy is. And the whole rest of the movie is him just cranking his adrenaline up. He goes to the hospital and gets a massive hard-on and then runs around in a robe, cranking nasal spray,
cranking epinephrine,
cocaine on the ground.
Cocaine on the ground. Like, you could have just taken a dollar bill and snorted out a thing, but you didn't do it.
Cranking by fighting a bunch of gangbangers.
Cranking by boner on a motorcycle.
Cranking by chopping off a dude's hand
with a butcher knife. Finally, cranking it up without a parachute, jumping out of a helicopter and landing on the ground.
Did we say cranking up with public sex?
Cranking up with public sex. You're just constantly cranking up,
Crank!
30.
That plot synopsis, if anyone out there was confused, it's because the movie has no plot.
It doesn't.
It's a series of video game moments.
It is literally a beating heart. Really, the movie is, it's a ticking clock. If you put the ticking clock into a heart. Like, I consider this speed on Crank.
Yeah.
which is, you know.
So just to clarify for anyone who hasn't
seen
this.
And he never really did any crank except until he got injected by Dwight Yoakam, the doctor, Doc, with a little bit of speed.
Crank is speed.
Crank is speed.
That's what I thought.
If anybody out there has done crank and knows what the street term for crank, like what the actual drug is, could you tweet it at us?
I thought isn't it crank?
Crank is speed. Is it not? I think, Alexis, can you look on Wikipedia and find out what crank on the street is?
But
I think
just real quick, in case it sounded like two spastic children trying to explain that.
Crank!
Basically, it starts off, he's poisoned.
We should have done the plot as Jason Statham.
We should have. Now we'll do it in his perspective.
So then I wake up and I'm all dazed and shit, and I look at this DVD.
It says, fuck you, nobody tells me, fuck you.
So then I put it in, and then he says, I've got this synthetic stuff that's going to kill you. So I break my TV. I really love that TV. I just fucking bought that TV.
That's when Best Buy was still really killing it.
Actually, it was when Circuit City was still around. So then I go and I get in my fucking car and I'm starting to fade.
I had to run over a BMW in the parking garage.
And then I crash and then I go and I find these gangbangers and I go and do some cocaine there off the ground like a fucking just, you know, like a junkie.
At the Sin City Disciples.
And then I say, who wants some white meat?
I believe we have that quote from Jason. Jason, could you call in and tell me Who you got white meat?
Yeah, exactly. So I came in and I said, who wants white meat? Which funny enough, is every time I go to Taco Bell, I ask for the chicken soft tacos, and they give me dark meat, and I go... God damn it. Yeah, exactly. And then I jump up on the counter with a hospital gown and a full boner, and I go straight to the girl working the counter.
And then I get there. Oh, you're going to keep going with the joke. Oh, sorry, I almost did it.
It's all right. I said to the girl on the counter, Alexis, I fucking swear to Christ, if you fuck this up one more fucking bloody fucking time, I'm going to freaking flip the frig out, you know?
I'm sorry, mate, but I feel like you didn't speak English at the end of that.
I know, I fucking didn't, you know?
So then for some reason, I go into a hospital and I change out of my clothes so that I'm inconspicuous in a hospital gown with a giant gun.
I didn't even need to take my underwear off.
Two giant guns. I had a boner and a giant gun.
Oh, bazing, ding, ching.
And then the rest of it is just chaos. I guess we should talk about the plot holes. What do you think?
Yeah, let's
get
you
want to keep going with that?
Hey, guys. So I couldn't find what the actual term was, but I did find out what the meaning of crank is. It is a low purity form of
methamphetamines.
Methamphetamines.
And it is administered in a powder form.
Huh?
Okay, so basically like meth or, you know, like...
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like street meth, basically back alley country forest meth would be called crank.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I do want to talk about the
that's as
the,
white as we discussed.
Back alley, you know, the crank. Excuse me. May I have my methamphetamines?
I would like also, before we get into this real quick, this movie has no relation to Christmas with the cranks. See what I did there? Guys, all right. I'll see myself out. Yikes. Amazing.
Where do we start with
this show has been just like crank, just absolute mayhem, nothing to it.
Can we start with the sound clip where he describes the synthetic thing? Because this is the best exposition ever, where he comes on and he's like,
this is the shit right here I gave you. This is some high-tech sci-fi Chinese synthetic bullshit. I don't exactly what the fuck is in this shit, dude.
I would have loved if that was the only explanation, if the doctor never explained it, and that's it, the movie said, it's this high-tech synthetic, woo, I don't even know what I put in here.
I love the fact that he's talking to Dwight Yoakam on a phone in the airport, and Yoakam's like, more than likely, they gave you this Chinese stuff that you just have to keep your heart.
How does he know this?
Yes, exactly.
Because he's a doctor who deals in crank.
He also deals in Christmas with the Crank CDs.
He also deals in traveling somewhere just to get a dual topless massage.
And could've got that in L.A.
And then come back and gripe about how expensive the flight's going to be. Yeah. It's like, what?
Come on, Yoakam. You're better than
Yoakam.
That.
Yoakam. So that's how the movie starts.
Yes.
With this, the most bizarre opening ever.
We know for a fact that Jason Statham has temper issues simply by the fact when he gets injected with his first move is to just destroy that really nice TV.
Yeah, it's a really nice TV.
It's great. I'll be honest, my TV is one of my prized possessions. I would never,
no matter how angry I was, I would go destroy the lamp.
Yeah.
Maybe take a knife to the sofa.
Like Andrew Santino says in his stand-up, nobody buys lamps. Lamps are just there. You have lamps. Nobody's ever bought a lamp.
No, because you get them at a yard sale after it's shut down and it's like free.
Free lamp.
And you go pick it up and you plug it in and you hope it works.
Yes.
And doesn't start a building fire.
Right.
You know,
that's also what happens with their Christmas at the Crank seat DVDs. You can get them at your... All right, that's my last Christmas the Cranks joke. Sorry, guys.
Jesus.
So basically, all Jason Statham just telling Christmas with the Cranks jokes.
You know, yeah. I was originally supposed to play Ben Affleck's part.
I bought a lamp. Oh, Alexis bought a lamp.
Bought a lamp.
Epic fail. Way to go, stupid. Nobody buys. Don't call her stupid.
You should have got. You should have been on crank, just cranking it up.
It's not. So then, poor. Shut up.
So you shouldn't have bought the lamp. You should have either stolen it or got it from free, or it just appears in your apartment one day.
Yeah. Okay. True.
There you go.
Touche.
So then, okay. So this happens.
We're back to crank.
We're back to crank. Then he gets in the car and he starts fading. And then basically the movie.
When he fades, it's a lot like. Whoa,
yeah. It's like. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And there's always a phone call that's like...
Yeah, what is up with that? It's like the phone call is on a bad
Well, no, that's his perception of it, okay. Perception of it when it fades. For me, I wrote down that it's like every time that the writers were afraid the audience is getting bored, they're like, all right, let's figure out a new way to crank him up, you know? And so the first way is he crashes his car,
right.
And then he goes and fights a bunch of gangbangers.
Bikers. Biker gang.
Which is my favorite part about that
Disciples.
Is when they show the outside of the bar, it's like bowing in and out, like they're fighting so much, it's bending the brick exterior.
Like Neo in Matrix when he goes like,
It's such a weirdly stylized movie where you can't take it seriously at all, mm-mm. And it's not supposed to be. That's the point.
Yeah.
But it's
and then every now and then, just a weird subtitle will pop up, like epinephrine or like cunt across his head.
Yeah, we have that clip.
We have that clip.
Do you think I've got cunt written on my forehead?
Yeah. Which, funnily enough, you know, I asked a girl to prom.
Mm-hmm.
She said no. And I was like, I was just joking. What do you think I... Alexis...
It's frozen.
Yay!
Okay. Well, that was a bad joke. Anyway, all right. We can. Play
I could
that
just
later
say
on.
It. Do you think I got cunt written on my forehead?
Wait, do it again.
Do you think I got ding?
Cunt on my forehead.
Got it. There we go.
Nice. I mean, funnily enough, you know, I'm going to London next week, and I believe, you know, I'll probably start developing an English accent.
Yeah.
Everybody, every bar I go to, I'm going to order a beer, and they're going to ask me what kind, and I'm just going to say,
do you think I've got cunt written on my forehead?
Just pour me a fucking lager. Fucking me.
Because you don't care what kind of beer it is.
No, I don't care. I'm in fucking bloody London. And pour me a fucking beer.
And then the English guy just goes, well, that was really fucking rude.
Yeah,
I mean, we have several beers on tap here in London. We're known for our beers. I mean, I just want to make sure I give you the right beer because they're so polite.
And then I respond with,
sir, again, I just want to explain to you that we're not trying to offend you. We just want to make sure that, I don't know if you like stouts or if you like lagers. So just, you know, if you could just at least pick a genre of beer, you know, not a genre, but like a taste palette.
I don't believe I have to answer that.
Do you think I've got cunt written on my forehead?
All right, well then go fuck yourself.
Do you have anything to eat? Do you have anything to eat at your bar? Do you?
Yeah, we have, we have bangers and mash.
I didn't ask what you had.
Yes. That was even more fun than the round robin turning it into a sketch.
Yeah.
Oh man. So, but I think we should get to the hospital part. That's
here's
okay,
one thing
about
the biker bar, real quick. So
I want to see what other plot holes
the biker
I wrote on
bar
my phone.
And I think it's extremely racist that all black biker guys have coke. But let's just for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, I mean, the whole movie's racist. Like, you know, we said, it's all stereotypes,
right? So he, instead of just taking the bag, he rips the bag open and then just starts just grabbing the coke off that dirty bathroom floor. I can imagine. Listen, I've been in some dirty bathrooms before. One of them being at the University of Illinois in Champaign, still to this day the dirtiest bathroom I've been in. But every bar you go into are gross. Barney's Beanery, I love that place. My favorite bar in the world. But that bathroom is disgusting.
Every bar is disgusting, yeah.
And he,
every bar smells like piss and beer and like stale water.
Yeah, yeah.
Every, not bar, but bathroom.
Always.
It smells like a dirty beer mug
in
the bathroom.
With somebody peed in.
Yeah.
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 And so he then...
Get an air freshener. It's not that difficult. And they have those little things. I hate those air fresheners.
That would be a really good prank, because if I got an air freshener and I put it in your car and it was like pee bathroom.
It was pee bathroom. That would be an air defreshener. Those air fresheners that go off automatically, I feel like they always go off when I'm in there and I get a little offended. Like, dude.
You stink.
I have good hygiene.
And I always think that somebody's in there sneezing in the toilet when it's going off. I have to like look under the stall because that's what it sounds like.
Just like the most demure sneeze. It's... It's
Man, there is just an adorable sneezer in this bathroom.
That's how the bartender in London sneezes.
It's, please don't call me a cunt again, sir.
Alexis, I believe...
Here's the...
I've got cunts written on my forehead.
We haven't even gotten to the car chase that then, where he gets chased by the cops, drives through a mall.
Oh, man.
And the greatest moment, one of the top five moments in the movie.
Hold on. He drives, he's in the car and he's on the phone and you just see like a plate glass exploding in the car.
And then suddenly shots.
Yeah. Drive
that through. Shot's amazing.
It is awesome.
Because it's clear that he actually is driving in a mall.
Yeah.
And then it's clear that he's not
it
when
he lands the car perfectly, splits the middle of the escalator, and he rides up the car like he's a Star Wars character running across, and it's the worst green screen
ever. It's the worst screen scene ever. And also, how did his giant car fit in one escalator that's barely big enough for two people? Yep. When you're trying to, you know, when two people are standing on the escalator, for me, escalators are faster stairs.
Yes.
Not a way to just sit there and relax for 15 seconds. So when two people are there and I can't even get through, how can a giant car land in there? And it's not gonna,
it
there's a weight
going
limit.
Up.
There's a weight limit. I guarantee you that car is a bigger weight limit than that escalator can handle. I know we're poking holes in the logic here, but it's hilarious.
But keep going with it.
It's hilarious to ride a car up an escalator.
And again, you know, the funny thing is he rode that car up the escalator, he ran to the food court, and he stopped at the Panda Express, and he said,
"What's white meat?"
Yeah, exactly. And they said, "Sir, we don't carry white meat in the orange chicken." So he ran across to the sushi place, which is in every food court, and he screamed,
"What's white meat?"
And then they didn't have the white
meat. So he went to McDonald's.
So he ran to McDonald's, got that all white meat chicken, and the guy behind the counter said to Statham,
"What's white meat?"
And Jason Statham said, "Oh, I do, motherfucker."
Yeah, and no, he actually responded
with...
Oh,
wait.
No, he actually responded with...
"Does it look like I got cunt written on my forehead?"
Yeah, because he obviously wants the white meat. He's been to every place
everywhere.
The food court.
And, you know, we just... McDonald's, if you'd like to sponsor us, we'll eat all white meat chicken on our show.
We will. As many chicken nuggets as we can put in our mouth, we'll eat all white meat.
I might spit them out. I might have a spit bucket.
You don't like chicken nuggets?
I don't know. I can't tell because I have them, and then I always feel really bad
chicken
about myself.
Nuggets are I could eat.
They taste like childhood.
Oh,
they
amazing.
Do.
I don't like chicken. Yes, Alexis knows. I don't like chicken nuggets from anywhere else. But
yeah, you're right. No, they're delicious, but then I always feel like I shouldn't be eating it because I'm an adult.
Well, we shouldn't be eating a lot of things because you're an adult.
Doesn't it feel like it feels like a kid food?
Yeah, but it's
Hell
amazing.
No.
Yeah. Well, Alexis, you're obviously a child.
Shut, oh. Shut your dirty whore mouth, Cougar.
Hey, I believe Jason Statham has something to tell you.
This is definitely going in the explicit section on YouTube.
Super explicit.
So, question.
Go ahead.
Do you think that when he goes into the convenience store and he's jamming all the energy drinks
because that's
and
right
stuff,
after
yeah,
the mall.
Right after.
Yeah.
He gets in a cabin and then he goes and jams a bunch of energy drinks.
Yeah.
Now, is that
because
good?
Outside of the mall, cops aren't swarming yet. There's a cab just waiting for him.
So. Totally. Just chilling.
Because everybody takes cabs in the malls these days.
Yeah, of course. And everybody valets their cars at the Sherman Oaks Gallery,
of course,
right?
Yeah, of course.
So, no one other than LA people will understand that. But when he goes in there jamming all these energy drinks, I was wondering, is that positive product placement for Red Bull? Or is it... Because it's equating it to basically cocaine, which it kind of is. But I wondered if they had to get clearance or if Red Bull was like...
Just
shit, yeah, man. That's
there.
Pretty much what we are.
Yeah,
like
jam these people up, get them all cranked up. Now, here's my favorite part in the movie.
Uh-huh.
Is after he like attacks the guy in the convenience store. He takes all those pills. He's chugging Red Bull. He's chugging anything that has caffeine. The guy's like, "I'm gonna call the cops." So he throws the guy who's working behind the counter, and he screams, "Al-Qaeda!"
No, it's the cab driver.
Oh, it's the cab driver.
It's after he dives in the pool, and which, by the way, we should talk about that real quick. He dives in the pool with the main mob boss dude,
with his pants and shoes on.
With his pants and shoes on. And no one stops him like this. We'll get to how later on the world's worst security for a mob boss pays off at the end when the triads show up.
Yes, exactly.
But like, what? Nobody is like, "Oh yeah, this hitman dude that is dying and is causing chaos just jumped in the pool. Maybe we should shoot him or something."
Get up.
And then they have like a 10-minute conversation while water's going. That
funny
that
enough,
scene grosses me out for some reason. Where there's like they're just like slobbering and spitting out.
Yeah,
water. I don't
Funny
know why
enough,
it was
Statham,
weird.
Can you can hear his British accent underwater? Very few English actors you can hear their accent.
It's like when they sing.
Yeah.
You can't hear it when they sing or when they're underwater. It's weird.
It's weird.
It's this
it's a
weird
British
thing.
Thing. It's
so
crazy.
Now back to the cab thing. He comes in because he's soaking wet. He's like, "You're not getting in my cab when you're soaked. You're gonna ruin my cab." Makes no sense.
No.
And then he throws them down and...
And he screams, Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda, and a gang of unruly seniors...
A gaggle, I would call gaggle. Them. A gaggle of seniors.
Of unruly senior citizens, unruly geriatrics, attack the Al-Qaeda, because obviously their demographic hates the Al-Qaeda the most. And there's a scene where a grandma legit breaks the cab driver's legs.
It's crazy.
It is really disturbing.
It's like...
I rewound that to see if I saw it for correctly.
It's one of those things where I get... Because this movie's so trashy, I can... accept
it. So good.
It's so funny because it's just, it's making fun of American culture in every way, and it's making fun of every stereotype.
Yep.
And the fact that, a bunch of geriatrics, and I couldn't tell if they, I needed to rewind it and I didn't. I couldn't tell if they were actual old people or people with old wigs on.
That's a good call.
One of them looked
really,
like an old wig.
They really jump on that
they
guy
body
quick.
Slam
him. I mean, they crush him. And an old woman breaking a man's leg.
She'd probably break her hip in the process.
Exactly.
I would be.
Unless they just ran him over with the Rascal Scooters.
The live chat is hilarious. What is happening?
I'm reading. I'm pretty much having a conversation with the people in the chat right now.
Oh, nice work,
Alexis.
We're
all talking about just different things that we've been saying this whole time, and apparently they're upset. You called me stupid and said that I was very pretty, and how dare you?
Hey, I immediately said he should not have said that.
Alexis,
it's a joke. It's okay.
Dummy and stupid are things that I call people lovingly. That's one of my favorite things to say.
That's how
a loving
every time I show
up. Why I'm also still single.
Every time I show up to the show, he just goes, hey, dummy. And I'm like, hey, jackass.
Yeah, it's just really funny.
Alexis, I love you. You know that.
I know.
Now
and you're absolutely adorable and you're a fantastic engineer, except when you botch the sound clips.
I'm trying. I'm doing 8 different things.
Hey, Alexis, I believe that I went into Chick-fil-A last night and all they had was dark meat chicken, so I just took my pants down and I said, You're welcome.
That is not an image I wanted to keep in my head forever.
Yeah,
it's too late.
It's too late.
I'm going to wake up screaming about just nightmares of Josh's white meat. Then the next scene it goes to is where he goes and kills Verona's brother,
which is
the greatest. When he chops off his hand.
And there's
and
no
then the
blood.
Dude, the dude's punching him with his nub. And he hits the ground and he's like, oh! And the nub is clearly like the length of a hand, though, still.
Yeah, yeah. And
no blood's
pouring
out. No
blood. It's already just been cauterized and perfect.
You know, because he punched the ground and the ground was hot.
Yeah, it's a little hot.
It's blacktop. It's hot.
Yeah.
He cauterized it in that moment.
And then one of the greatest killings in movie history when he shoots him with his own hand.
Pulling the trigger with his own finger.
With his own finger and his own gun. And then
just leaves his buddy there covered in blood like, see you later.
Yeah,
what a dick. I would not be friends with that guy.
The gay using of the rolling pin guy, he gets sprayed with blood and then he like gets up and he's like, puta. And he just kicks
him. He has like no fighting
skills.
There's
no character.
He's just a homophobic stereotype is all he
100%.
Is.
100%. But now the brother's dead. He calls, what's Moreno? Is that his?
Verona?
I
believe. Yeah. The hospital's next.
Oh, God. So he calls Verona, and Verona's getting serviced by a young lady, and for some reason is sweating profusely.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that happens.
He doesn't even have his pants off. You see, you cut, and you think he's going to have...
Everybody sweats a lot in this movie.
A lot of sweating.
I mean, I get it from
Verona taking the crank.
Yeah. Maybe he did. Maybe that's how he gets his rocks going.
Maybe.
Rocks going?
Rocks
going? That's not what people say.
So Statham pulls up to the hospital in the cab.
Uh-huh.
Cuts to getting a parking ticket instead of being towed outside of a hospital when the cab is blatantly half on the curb, half on the street.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're lenient. They're like, maybe he's going to come back. Maybe it was an emergency. We're just going to ticket him.
Really and truly, if they look at the license plate, maybe they just didn't have that many parking tickets. And they thought,
let's give this guy a little break.
Little break.
Before we put the little...
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy.
I like that I didn't just say tow truck. I just made a weird noise.
So he goes in the hospital and he goes to the pharmacy.
And the guy, and he's like, I need epi, something with an E, and it gets your adrenaline. She goes, epinephrine? Yeah, that's it. Give it to me.
First, like, she says, England, and we have the most sarcastic, dry pharmacist ever. She's just a B-I-T-C-H to be a B-I-T-C-H. I don't know why I said,
well,
why I spelled out bitch.
In her defense, random dude is just like, I'll need epinephrine. Apparently, Jason Statham, in all his years as a hitman, has never walked into a pharmacy and figured out how things work.
No.
Like, you need a prescription.
Ippy something. And then the lead singer of Linkin Park, or
like,
a member
hey,
of Linkin Park, hey, nasal spray,
epinephrine. It gets you, what does he say?
Gets you cranked.
Sure, probably.
Gets you zipped. Something.
So then he's huffing
that.
And then he goes and he has this weird, sad moment with a dying old guy in the hospital.
Yeah, they have like a moment.
Like they try and humanize
him.
Oh,
you know what it is. He sees like the last beats of that guy's heart and he's like, that's happening to my heart.
Oh.
That just came to me, guys. Like, that just came to me.
And then he steals the dude's, and then he steals the dude's robe.
Yeah.
So now it's just a naked old dude.
And
in
I'd like to point out that the cops come in, they search the bathroom in a closet. And if you look at the other closets, there's no closet that he could legit fit in. And then it cuts to him coming out of one of the white closets that has a lever up here that none of the, it's just, it's not, there's no continuity in that shot. Awesome.
This is the biggest plot, one of the biggest plot holes for me is, why did he change out of his outfit to a medical robe,
yep,
take his underwear off?
Yeah, the underwear's gotta go.
And then,
It's
here's the thing. So like, okay, I'm gonna walk down and be inconspicuous, but yet I'm gonna have my giant gun blatantly hanging in my armpit. He's like walking like, no one will notice me if I'm walking in. They're just gonna think I'm a patient who's carrying a fucking hand cannon under my armpit. And I get it. The movie's trashy. It's hilarious. That's so funny to me though that they added that in where it's like,
this is how
I'll get away from the fucking cops. And then
cops catch him, and instead of he doesn't scream anything at the cops, but what he should have said to the cops, Alexis,
I feel like we got other things we can say other than the C word over and over again.
But I kind of like this word anyway. Yeah, exactly. And then the cops are like, hey, buddy, slow down. And then he sees the EMTs. They're like, oh, no, you fuckers got epinephrine.
Just juice me.
Yeah. Juices him into the elevator. Dennis from
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, wait, there it is there.
Do it.
Oh, yeah.
This happens.
Come on.
Okay. Wait, do it.
Juice. Do it.
Do it.
Come on!
Come on!
Now, I don't know if you guys know this, but there's a scene in Cloudy with a Chance of Love where Ben goes into a Jamba Juice, and the Jamba Juice cashier is played by a young Italian man from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and you come into the store and say,
juice me.
Juice me.
Excuse me, sir? Juice?
Yeah.
Do it. Come on!
And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, God, this guy really wants his juice.
Yeah.
And I say, sir, would you like strawberry? Would you like banana? Would you like guava? Perhaps a, you know, a nice pineapple?
And I just say, just fucking juice me.
And I'm like, juice?
Do it. Come on.
Such a long audio clip.
It is. My
for
bad.
This game.
On.
How about this?
He gets a bunch of the epinephrine.
I was going to say that my phone was dying, and I went into the T-Mobile store, and I was like, I need to make a call. You know, my battery's dying, and juice? What do you mean, sir?
Juice.
You have to take a number.
Come on.
I got real upset because my iPhone, I need it charged.
Absolutely. I should buy
a car charger. It's my own fault.
Now, apparently a couple weeks ago, a guy tried to break into a prison to get O.J. Simpson out. And, no? He didn't try that? Oh, I thought I read that. I read that wrong. I believe we have a sound clip of him jumping into the jail, though.
Juice me.
He was trying to get O.J.
Right? Excuse me, sir? Yeah, I heard you.
Do it. Come on!
So
I don't understand what that means, sir.
Yeah, but apparently they didn't get that, and now this guy's in jail as well.
With the juice. Rightfully so. He tried to break out O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
Of all people, there are other people who...
The juice is loose, guys.
The juice will never be loose.
So now he's got the epinephrine.
He got the epinephrine, and he's supposed to take 10 milligrams, and he takes like
the whole
90. And then apparently...
But in his defense, Jason Statham can do anything he wants.
Yeah, of course. And then he gets a raging boner that, from the looks of it, is about 16 inches.
Well, you've never had an epinephrine boner.
Apparently, it makes you have super cock.
Guys, if you want to call in and talk about your epinephrine boner, the number is 1-800. What do I have, cunt, written on my forehead?
Yeah, it's a long number. It'll work. Just dial it.
Just keep dialing it.
And if it asks you to ask for parents' permission to charge it or anything, or like if you have a credit card, just charge it. It'll be fine.
Nothing big. We have Alexis's credit card number. It's 3484-7874.
What if it was? What if she looked at her card and was like, what the
Jesus.
Fuck? Hey, Alexis did it. Alexis just said, cunt written on my forehead.
Alexis killing us back there today.
So now he's running around with a raging hard-on.
Yes, and he's running fast.
Yeah. Which, by the way, okay, so that moment where he's running and crazy happened to me once, except for the Raging Hard-On.
Yeah.
At E3 one year, they were giving out all these samples of energy drinks and stuff, and in the period of 2 hours that I was there, I forgot that I had a 5-hour energy, I had a NOS, I had, like, several shots of samples, so I had, like, more caffeine than any human being should ever have in a day, let alone an hour and a half or 2 hours.
Ben
and
begging,
my heart was, like, pounding,
I
literally, my car was about 7 blocks away, and I ran through the streets like a maniac, faster than I've ever ran to my car. I called my mom, who's a nurse, on the way home, and every time she's talking and I'm not, I'm like...
Yeah.
And I feel like my teeth are going to jump out of my face and just rattle around on the dashboard. And I'm like, Ma, am I going to die from this? My heart's beating really fast. I'm like, I can't. And she's like, Ben, just go home, drink a lot of water, and just go for a jog. And I'm like, okay. But I feel like it's going to explode. Like, I felt like my heart was going to explode.
Funnily enough, that's what everybody at Coachella looks like.
Yeah, exactly. And long story short, I will never do cocaine. If I did cocaine, I'd just be like...
Well, you'd be Chev Chelias.
I'm a Chev Chelias. So he's running with a boner.
Running with the boner. And then he decides...
to fuck with a police officer. Yeah. Take is going to go, I what, pig? Oh, yeah. Oh, come on, pig. Fuck you. And like the cop wouldn't... Why wouldn't the cop attack? He's the world's worst cop.
Yeah.
He doesn't attack him.
Hey, give me this gun. Hey, come on, quit messing around.
Let me call this one in. Dave, he's got my gun.
Then he throws it, takes the motorcycle... and is riding with a raging boner on a motorcycle.
Standing on the motorcycle.
Yeah, because he's fading. He starts fading. So he tries just doing like the free, like the Titanic.
Yes.
I'm the king of the world. And then he has to go full king of the world and stand up. And now he's standing on a motorcycle. Full boner.
Yeah.
Full Titanic.
Yeah. Crushes into a thing and flips into a table. And there's two people at the cafe who just stand there and look at him like, huh. Can we get the, is there onions?
I mean.
Can we get some onions? Is there onions in the quesadilla?
How much, can we get the pesto on the side of this turkey pesto? Because sometimes, when I'm not allergic, it's just, sometimes it's a little overpowering. It hurts my bowels.
Could you ask the chef if the pesto can come on the side?
The pesto? Or is it built into the sandwich? Sir, there's no sandwich in the world where pesto is built in. Okay,
has
just checking.
Has the pesto been baked into the bread? I saw that on a Martha Stewart episode.
Sounds delicious.
Now, a man with a giant boner has just landed on the table in front of us. Is that going to make the meal take longer? Because we've kind of been a hurry.
We got a matinee to catch. Of Transporter 3.
Does the chicken have white meat? Or is the chicken a dark meat, white meat combo? Let's ask this young British man who just landed on this table if he knows.
Do you think I've got cunt written on my forehead?
Well, that was incredibly rude.
He was just rude.
I mean, we are just two upright standing citizen females. Just to clear up, we're females right now. We were playing females, right? I was playing like an upper class, like Rodeo Drive. Oddly enough, it's the same stereotype.
This is my favorite episode we've ever done.
Let's see where we are now.
Now he's got the raging boner, and then he.
Oh, where does he hide the cell phone?
Yeah.
Because then he picks up his cell phone and calls.
He's got the arm cannon, the hand cannon underneath.
But the gun's gone now.
Yeah.
The gun's gone. But somehow he still has his cell phone after a motorcycle crash where he just has a robe, unless maybe he put in a sock.
Because
it's a small flip phone, which apparently everyone, did you notice everyone in this movie has a flip phone.
Or the phone that goes like.
Yeah.
The slider.
They're all like mid-90s.
Slider? Yeah.
Awesome.
Well,
love
if you're
that
a terrorist
detail.
Or a gangster, you have to have
the
sliders.
Have a burner phone.
Now
we get to one of the greatest parts ever.
So he calls his girlfriend, who's played by Amy Smart. And
who plays a really dumb character in this movie.
She's stupid.
She's so lovable, though.
Like, here's another stereotype. Is like, she's blonde, and she's dating a dude that's obviously a killer.
And she doesn't get it. Like, she thinks he works for insurance or something.
Just stop it. Meet me for breakfast. This is how you want to break up. Shut up.
I'm just waking up. It's like 3 in the afternoon.
At the breakfast.
Which is real.
That's method acting.
Her hiccups were real in that moment.
You stole fizzy lifting drink.
So that's one of my favorite scenes, though, where he's like, we gotta go. And then he dispatches two bad guys without her noticing.
No. Yeah.
And then comes the greatest moment in cinema history in Chinatown.
Hands down, the funniest moment in the movie, and hands down, maybe my favorite scene in an action movie ever.
And simultaneously, hands down, one of the weirdest, creepiest, funniest sex scenes ever. Because
It
starts off rapey.
Yeah.
There's a weird shot where like they show him rip off her shirt and a boob hangs out, but it's clearly not Amy Smart because it's a... It's just a shot of that.
Yeah.
And then they never show her boobs again.
But she showed her boobs in Road Trip.
Yeah, but I feel like this was
she past boobs at
this point?
I
feel like this was just like...
Because Amy Smart's hot.
Because anytime they just show this, I'm always like, that's not theirs.
Not her boob.
So it's really weird that they're like, he's like clawing at her and like, come on, just fuck me. And she's like, clearly, no. I mean, it's really...
And all the Chinese people are like, this is a, it's a performance art.
By the way, we read on IMDb fans out there that all those non-actor reactions in that scene were real.
Yep, those are real people.
So that means if this was that ABC show or whatever, what would you do? Apparently the answer would be nothing.
Yeah.
Because you've seen that hidden camera show where they go and they like do something crazy and they see if people intervene.
Is that the one with the mom from Goldberg's?
I don't know. No. That's a prank show. This is more like showing people intervene when a guy's being abusive or something. It's more dramatic. I think it got canceled because it's terrible.
But then a tour bus of Asian girls.
Yeah.
Comes.
So there's like they're doing this in front of like children.
Yes.
Like high school kids. They're like fake fucking in front of high school. And for all they know, they're really fucking.
Yeah. They're crushing butts.
And they have the greatest moment when he finds... So finally, she's like into it.
Yeah.
She's like, take me now, big man. And he can't get it up. And then he puts her on a newspaper stand and starts slamming away. And this moment happens.
With the time's up.
Nope.
What's he been doing?
Sorry, no. The public sex one. Which, you know what? After I saw Avengers Age of Ultron last night, I stood up in the IMAX laser theater and I said,
I'm alive! I'm alive!
Just to clear that up, I did not masturbate in the theater.
I had a major allergic reaction while I was on vacation last week. I had some macadamia nut covered fish and I got my the allergy taken care of and I screamed,
I'm alive!
I was swimming in the Bahamas once, and I saw my friends were looking out there as I was in there, and they were staring and pointing at something, and I ran out, and just as I ran out, there was a shark, about 4-foot shark, coming at us, and we missed him by about 10 feet, and I screamed on the beach.
I'm alive! I'm alive!
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Oddly enough, the first time I ever had sex, I screamed... It was in my dorm room, though, and the RA came by and was like, we get it. And I was like, I'm 20.
And then
it took a long time.
And Jason Statham came by and said,
I'm alive!
I want this to be my ringtone.
Yeah, yeah.
Anytime a text comes in, I just want it to be like,
I'm alive! I'm alive!
How happy would you be?
It's amazing.
You wake up to this, you're like, fuck yeah! You know,
weirdly enough, the first time I had a chicken McNugget, I was on cloud nine and I screamed in my mom's minivan.
I'm alive! I'm alive!
Yep.
I love this so much.
So then the public sex scene ends, and now we're getting to
but
the end
crazy
here.
Thing is he leaves her there.
He's like, sorry, I gotta go.
And just because he finds out that where Verona is, so he's like, I gotta go. And she's just left there amongst all these people, like panties down, just like. And that's where it got a little weird for me.
Yeah.
Where I was like, oh, you should have at least like taken her with you and said, here, just go over here instead of like. Stand in the middle of these hundreds of people that just saw me ram you.
Yeah. And then she follows him.
Ta-ta!
Ta-ta, a ta-tail. And so then he finds out where Verona is, and then he gets to the...
The warehouse.
He gets to the warehouse. And
it's a trap.
It's a trap.
They've gotten his buddy, Ephraim Ramirez, and
they've killed him.
They hang him real quick. And then there's a shootout.
There it is.
Where Jason Statham, Chev Chelios, uses... Because he cares about his friend so much. He uses him as a human shield.
It's not the best.
In like the goriest moment ever, where just blood spraying everywhere, and you're like, they really didn't care about this character.
We're missing one thing. He sees his buddy on top of the roof. He's like, what the fuck are you doing here?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then this is where the ding comes in.
Time's up. What you mean, ding? What you mean, ding?
Right? He throws him off the roof.
I know. It's crazy. It's every time, you know, Christmas time, Thanksgiving, when the timer goes off in the oven, I say,
ding. What's he been doing?
Because you're the turkey at my parents.
Yeah, because your family's very specific about like the length of time the turkey's in the oven, and you just wanted to eat.
Exactly. And if they're in my way, I'll come at you like a spider monkey. You know what I mean?
You got to just all kinds of limbs.
Same thing as like
Tasmanian
devil
style.
Yeah, like when I'm at the tanning salon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't want to stay in there any longer. And the guys are like, you stay a couple other minutes. But if that ding goes off, I say.
Time's up. What you been doing?
And then I shove him in the tanning bed, I lock it, and I leave him for dead. I'm violent. Now I'm Jason Statham.
There's a warning out for Josh McCougan's arrest.
Joey Chocholos.
My accent just getting
trying
worse.
To think if I have any ding jokes. I might not.
There's the song Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead. Mm-hmm. This one is Ding Dong, the Mexican Gangster is Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts like this.
Ding, time's up.
What you mean ding? What you mean ding?
Yeah. Ding Dong, the Mexican Gangster is Dead.
He's dead on a roof. Alexis didn't like that one, or did she? She liked it? No, she wasn't.
I can't decide if that was offensive or not on our part.
Is
no, because we were talking
is
about the movie.
He's
and the
a Mexican
no.
gangster.
Yeah, it's just stating what his character was.
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be more offensive if I analyzed how offensive it was. My white guilt is showing right now.
And then we go, and he gets in the shootout. He uses Efren Ramirez. He basically kills everybody.
Then there's a great shootout where they chase him through the sewing factory.
Right.
And then he shoves the dude's hand in the sewing machine.
Oh,
and he's just sitting there. It's like, it's one of the coolest moments in the movie.
He uses
so good.
Everything in this movie as a weapon, which
is
awesome.
Yeah, it's great. It's so great.
We're running out of time here. Smash cut to the roof with Don Carlos.
Which is where I said that the biggest plot hole for me is apparently Don Carlos has no security up there.
No, he just walks in.
Because Statham's like, I'm going to kill you. And then he goes like this, and dude gets shot in the head, and you're like, how'd that happen?
Yeah.
Turn around. Suddenly the entire triad.
And they haven't noticed.
How did 12 people show up behind him and nobody was like, we're so focused on Jason Statham because he's a handsome man. I get it.
Great chin. Good jawline.
Great chin. Great half-bald head.
Yeah, they float up?
I don't know. They were just standing there. They were just standing there in the lobby or like the pool area. No one noticed. And then the craziest shootout ever happens. And then Statham goes after Don Carlos gets killed by Verona. And then Statham goes up in the helicopter and they're fighting.
And they're fighting.
That looked real.
It did.
Until it looks not real at all.
Yeah.
But when he's fighting and he's hanging out of the helicopter, mm-hmm. I was studying that. And I was like, that does not look like green screen.
I know. It was good. It was really good.
I would not.
And then he rips.
He cracks Verona's his larynx.
Yeah. And then he falls and he calls Amy Smart as he's falling.
Midair,
down.
He rips his throat.
Yeah. And then he's fallen and then you can actually hear on the phone because there's not much wind going on because it's not like you're falling from the sky. He calls and he says he loves her and then he lands and then his eyes still open and you're like,
no, bah. It's the greatest thing ever because he lands it's this beautiful slow motion shot and then he slams on a car, flips, lands on his face.
Now would you,
and his eyes there, and right before the credits he blinks
and boom, boom,
and a heartbeat, which then sets up
Crank 2 High Voltage.
Now, we're not going to do Crank 2 High Voltage because I didn't get to see it. And also, Ben said it's not really a movie.
It's just a clusterfuck of ridiculousness. That doesn't mean it wasn't still awesome.
I will watch it.
But it basically becomes, if you can imagine, a parody of the first film. If you can imagine something more insane by about 100%.
Then Crank 2 High Voltage.
Yeah, I think what Steven said when he first came in here, it really feels like it's the afterlife and it's a fever, like a dead person's dream. What's the questions from live chat? Do we have any?
Yeah, we have two.
Go.
So,
shoot.
We have.
Why is Ben back? I hate him.
No, they love you.
He didn't get the sequel.
So
he with a chance of love.
We have one from
cloudy.
I'm That Guy, KJ.
Okay.
He said, Who do they see taking over the Crank franchise, referring to the end of Crank 2 for a Crank 3?
Oh,
I don't think...
I think it's more for Ben, I guess, since you've seen it.
See, I thought Neville Dean and Taylor actually were going to do a Crank 3, but I don't know. I'd have to look it up, but I don't think that that's happening.
Well, we need a bald actor. We need probably somebody other British.
No, because Jason Statham's alive after the second one again.
We're talking
the
director then.
I think that there was supposed to be another one, but I assume that the second one didn't do so hot. I want there to be a second one, because when you see the second one, they end it, and it's even more insane.
Crank 3.
Should I just tell you how it ends, or do you want to see it?
I'm sure I get it.
It ends with him completely on fire, flicking off, like, the camera, and then they show him in surgery with the doctor again, and he's, like, fully burned. I mean,
it's like face off.
Spoiler alert!
Oh, sorry, everybody.
Our bad.
But Crank 3. Maybe there was confusion because we said
Crank 3. Christmas. Was
I did make a spoof called Crank 3, and actually, the directors liked it so much they put it on their homepage of their website.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
We got one more fan question.
Bill. He says when
just
he
Bill.
Bill Polyhan.
Oh, Bill Polyhan's a great dude.
Yeah,
Bill Polyhan.
He said, can you guys do Batman and Robin? It's so funny because it's so bad, it's good.
Batman and Robin, I'm still traumatized from when I saw that in theaters.
Yeah.
I remember being like a teenager seeing it and walking away going,
get Rose.
They just, all right,
everyone chill.
I'm not opposed to doing it. I'd like to get back and do a few more that I like first. Because here's the thing that happens. Anytime we do a movie that we hate on this show, people lash out at us. They get mad.
Because I really enjoyed the shit out of
it. I enjoyed the shit out of this. Like, when we didn't like Howard the Duck, people were not happy.
Yeah. So, but we will do Batman and Robin, because I feel like that's the only guilty movie pleasure of the Batman franchise.
Yeah, Forever's kind of guilty.
Yeah, Forever's pretty guilty.
Batman Forever's a better guilty movie pleasure. Batman and Robin is just terrible.
Yeah, it's not good.
But it could be fun to watch. Mm-hmm. I have not revisited it since theaters. I'm not opposed to it coming up sometime.
Okay. Yes.
The most vague answer
to
ever.
Your question,
which means anytime between now and 7 months.
And
sorry, Bill.
Only time between now and if our heart stops from friggin' having synthetic Chinese.
Any more questions?
There's one that me and this other person totally agrees with, is if you can do Tenacious D, Pick a Destiny.
Oh.
That's number three for me.
Is that a guilty movie?
It's a bizarre ass movie, that's
it
for
is.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I've seen it and it's sure. I don't care.
Tweet at us what you want us, and maybe we'll take.
I mean, you guys tweet us recommendations all the time,
try and get around to them.
I'll
for
favorite
sure.
some of them, and some of them, if I don't favorite, it means I don't want to do it as a guilty pleasure. So
I still want to do Long Kiss Goodnight. We were gonna do it this week, but Josh he's in the 90s still. He doesn't have Blu-ray, and he doesn't have access to movies at all.
I do. I got it.
Except Netflix. If it's not on Netflix,
I just sent my Netflix. So we'll do Long Kiss Goodnight. Next week. Okay. We'll do Long Kiss Goodnight next week.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Are you going to do it?
I'll get the DVD by then and we can watch it and do it, because you've been begging to do
it's
it.
It's a good
forever.
One. It's okay. a good I don't know. I haven't seen it since it came out, so I hope it's still good.
So next week, Long Kiss Goodnight, Samuel L. Jackson, Gina Davis, post
Rennie Harlan.
Their own. And Ben, it's great to have you back. This
I'm
so, much
so
fun.
Happy to be back. It's
Crank.
Fun. I missed it.
Oh, wait. I'm not here next week. I'm in London.
What the front door? Does that mean we're doing it or no? Are we doing a thing or no? Are we canceling again?
No, it's up to you.
All right, we'll talk about it. Now, we'll talk about this when we're not on the show.
We botched it. I botched, guys. I'm sorry.
We'll figure it out.
You guys can follow us on Twitter at Josh McCuga.
At Ben Begley Comedy.
And you guys can see my show, youtube.com/BetweenTheSheetsTV. Every Monday we release a new episode, and every Thursday we release a standalone piece, whether a Wheel of Fandom or something fun like that. I'm not going to be here next week. Maybe Ben will be here next week. Either way. Guys, it was fun talking Crank.
It was so fun.
Don't do Crank.
Don't do Crank, kids.
Please, kids, don't do Crank.
Just watch Crank.
Just watch Crank and watch Crank 2 High Voltage. And
watch Crank 3 Merry Cranksmas.
Yeah, Merry Cranksmas. And Crank 4 Christmas with the Cranks. I got it in there, baby.
What if I just punch you? No more Christmas with the Cranks. That's a good way to end.
Well done.
That's a good way to end.
Until then, what's your guilty movie pleasure?
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.
And so, Moscow, bye-bye.